the piece that I wanted to make sure that you saw is just a little bit of a bird's eye view of this, of the piece that I want you to kind of see and have to take away in terms of being change leaders and having a master plan. Now, having a master plan, doesn't mean that you've got every single bit and piece, but you've got the big picture, and then you can see where things fit and connect. So the image that I just want to show you, and it's kind of a combination of two images from, you could almost say, kind of like looking at a house plan from slightly different perspectives. And I call this my, the exceptional model as that kind of evolved through the course of things here, but let me get the screen share to get back to this exceptional model. And it's just really about when we're dealing with change at an organizational level and we're pulling in those systems, having simple, elegant systems that can be adapted for use and that are made, are customized for your organizational purpose, are the things that allow you, when you know that they're grounded in principles, when you know that they've been proven to work, when you've experienced them even a little yourself and you have that confidence in them, and then you start to put them into place and then you find the ways that they work, then it can be really quite remarkable and powerful for you going forward. And this is what I call the exceptional model. And in some ways it's very simple in principle, and it is grounded in what I call this transilience theory of social change. And I've given you bits and pieces of that. And again, understanding all the principles here is not the time that we're going to spend on taking, looking at the principles, but experiencing some of those, even with Chaplain Marilyn, and understanding that there are elements in our lives that are often at play daily and profoundly for us as individuals, but that many times in the professional environment aren't even talked about. Or they are not always even structurally dealt with through the organizational systems, and yet they're very real parts of what is going on in people's lives. There's all the more reason to have element to understand the principles and then to see how those elements, such as the emotional elements, are being taken care of in the systems in a very creative, positive, constructive way, are valuable and important. And part of why this model has come together is because it does pay attention to those pre-rational elements of human life. So putting it very simply, this model of exceptional, of change leadership, of social change, is it's underpinned with certain principles that take into consideration not just the human dynamic, but also the organizational structural dynamics and the challenges and the almost elastic nature, or what needs to be an elastic nature of how we handle change. We can handle stress for short pieces of time, but it has to relax, otherwise we break. A rubber band can't be held out forever stretched and then expect it to be able to be resilient enough to return to its original place, to have that give and elasticity that is essential to it being an elastic band. So understanding some of these elements are at play. So very simply, and we've gone over this with the Impact and Influence book, that we've got three core systems in this exceptional model, and that is the alignment for performance. We've got the core elements of our unique contribution, and then we've got the part where we're tapping the resources. Whether you looked at it this way or not, today what we were looking at is some of the profound resources of that we have in our organizations, in the human element, and some of those, and understanding how to work with some of those through, for example, the template on our stakeholder drivers. But tapping resources in the bigger picture of an organizational system also means that we are also needing to tap into not just the human resources, we need to tap into the financial resources and other kinds of resources that we have of, you know, materials and whatever those other material resources and other resources. So you've got your kind of your physical resources, your financial resources, and your human resources. And integrating all of those into a system that is cohesive is important. But at the center of all of this, and then at the top, we're dealing with the people. But the part of the value of the second image is because you can see that these systems, this transparent and adaptive goal system, which is the way we align everything, the X factor, which is the unique component, which some people in the traditional business world, they talk about in terms of branding or hedgehog factor, or there's all different ways people talk about it, but in the end it's a uniqueness factor. The reason why I've separated it out from some of those is again because it's intimately connected in with the factor, the human element, and I want to make sure that all of these have at the heart and soul of it is the human element, which is taking care of the emotional side, understanding and valuing the cognitive and the logical and the intellectual and all that side, and also fully appreciating the physical side of our world, of our physical lives and the physical environment, and even, you know, at the global levels of planet Earth. But so we've got those, the physical, the emotional, social, and the rational, intellectual side, but that having at the core of everything, keeping that sense of human dignity and not seeing none of these things exist or have meaning or value without that human core. And so when we look at this simple, seemingly house-like structure made of blocks and triangles, and squares, it's much more of a dynamic mode, and all of these feed into one another. And the arrows could be going in exactly the other way. The point here of the arrows was to try to make it clear that these are all interactive. And you can start by looking at the X factor, but you, in the end, you have to end up figuring, you have to dig back into your resources or your stakeholders. And those factors then are essential to the alignment of your goal system. So none of these are kind of separate entities, though we have to address them one at a time in order to look at them more deeply. But it's just really important that I want you to see that this is a whole integrated system that that builds together and helps to really create, you know, that institutional framework that is alive, vital, functioning, and that has at the heart of it respect for, concern for, and actually goals and objectives for human beings at various levels. So I just wanted to make sure that we closed out the day to have this kind of bigger picture that we are creating those systems, simple systems that then become powerful when they're used. And as simple as, I think I went over one of those simple systems in one of the last class that we had, that as we're working on and striving for successes in what we do, and sometimes we feel like we're just trying to survive the day. But even then, we still want to do it well. We'd prefer, I still remember one time when I was, I don't know, maybe five. And I was, for the age, or I don't know, maybe I was seven, I can't remember. I was a pretty decent swimmer at the time. And we were down in Port Phillip Bay in Australia, which is a very protected area, relatively speaking. But I loved to go out as far as I could. But there was one of those times where I was just out beyond where I could stand. And when a wave would come, of course, I would, I couldn't stand, and the wave would go over. And one of those moments, I accidentally swallowed a mouthful of water. And I can still remember just desperately trying to stand on my toes far enough up just to get the air. So just surviving sometimes. We're desperate. Some moments where you're just desperate to survive, and we're happy with survival. But 2 seconds later, we want to be enjoying the water and swimming on top of it and enjoying the sun and running in the sand. So those moments come and go. But we do want to make that impact. We do want to have that kind of high intensity impact in our lives. And so, again, stepping back for the moment, this is just to give you the big picture of that there are ways to tie all of these things together, and that as we dig into more, we looked at that, that we went over today the template for the stakeholders and how that can be, you can adapt that to all kinds of ways of deepening understanding, gathering information for your planning, whatever, but keeping the human element really at the heart of what you are doing in a powerful way that can really, as Ifani had mentioned in his reflections on having an experience with this just yesterday, it can make your whole progress surge forward in amazing ways, in surprising ways. So the tools that I have chosen, I've seen a lot of tools, a lot of tactics, a lot of strategies over the years, but I've distilled them down to these three core, because these more than any, I would, if you do nothing else, would be to pick up each one of these little pieces and to the best that you can, adapt them into your projects, your programs, your work, and begin to work with these and expand from there. Because I'm certain that there are probably other tools out there that it maybe is equally powerful, whatever. But I don't know them. When you find them, please let me know. But I am confident that these are very, very powerful, simple, elegant tools that can give you remarkable experiences when they're used in a short space of time. And I just wanted to you to see how these all, again, how they work together, and that they are all centered on this human element that is really important. The human element is really important for everything. And so that as you develop your programs and your procedures for how you organize your offices and how you organize your teams and how you organize, when you keep and revisit, and as I said in the class earlier this week, plan on doing, having these kinds of utilizing the element, the stakeholder driver template. Don't just do them once with people, because A, even your employees, your peers, your various stakeholders, where they were last year will be different this year. Where they are this year will be different the next year. So when you go back and ask this, what seems to be the same questions, you will gain new insight into where they are and what needs to be done now. Because also the organization, your work, your team will have already moved forward itself as well. Everything is moving. Everything is in flux. And so just because we feel like we're asking the same questions is not exactly true, because everything will have moved. So I just encourage you, I use this to encourage you to do definitely draw upon these tools as we go into them. And we dealt with in the resources area, which is we really dug into the human area, because most of the time when people deal with resources, they think of terms, the first thought, especially for nonprofits and for-profit organizations, it always goes straight to, where do I get money? But when you see that your greatest resources, and you understand that your greatest resources really are human beings, and that when you've got inspired, active, connected, engaged, committed people, the money will find its way into the organization. When people don't quite understand the value of what you're doing, aren't really clear about why you're doing it, or the benefits for them to help you, what are the chances that they're going to reach into their pockets and donate even membership money, funds, or, you know, be a donor, or recommend somebody else to come with you and invest their energies into your organization? So the key thing, and that was part of one of our classes too, is always pay attention first to having the right people in the right places. And you get some of these things so that when these become your standard operating procedure, your SOP, when you start with people and start investing in people and start with finding out and understanding their concerns, their what is driving them, when that's your beginning place, then you can go far, you can go fast a whole lot better than by worrying about the bottom dollar, you know, the dollars first. Yes, you have to have money. Yes, that is critical. Yes, we need those kinds of resources and other resources. We need the wheelchairs. We need the testing. We need we need all of these things as well. This is just clarifying what are the priorities as you invest in your teams, your organization, etc. And I make this effort to underscore it, because unless that effort is made, the old default is always to, well, how do I get money? Where do I get my money from? And yes, that's important, but first invest in people. First put the right people in the right place. And yes, there'll be challenges and they will come up. And when we find the right way to co-create with others, we can be surprised how people will step up, how people will respond, and the ideas that come forward that we couldn't have just simply sat back and analytically assessed and figured out on our own, sitting back in our ivory tower of sorts. So in some ways, I know I'm a little bit of a dense speaker, and I apologize for, I hope some of these points maybe sound like I'm reiterating, but I do hope that they sink in, because they're really important. And as much as you, if it sinks in and you go forward and you go, well, of course, That's fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic. But right now, what I want to do is open this up for any questions that you may have about anything we've gone over today. Tomorrow, we're going to go more into the X factor and into our tag system. So the other two main pillars, and there'll be, and I'll have an invitation to something else for you tomorrow as well. But beyond that, we will pay attention to each of these main pillars, these three main pieces in the course of these 3 days. But right now, questions about any of this that we've gone over today, and they could be questions or comments or thoughts as you reflect about anything that you have heard or experienced. Just to open up your mic, you know, we're a small enough group that just open up the mic and.
Karen, I was, you said very early today, something about level 4 leadership and level 5.
Mm-hmm.
What are those leadership levels?
Okay, get things out of the way so that I can stop that share. I will find a document I think I've got in here that I can just quickly pull up that. Okay. So here we go. So level 5, this is, so you've got, the concept is, in a way, is kind of very simple, but, you know, here, okay, back in the, pretty much more, if you had walked into Borders bookstore, which now a number of you have never even probably heard of Borders bookstore, other than it's now history. You would have found in there, you know, usually sections, they didn't have sections about business leadership as much as that about they had business management. And even all the CEOs, all the leadership was still kind of considered management. And even they have the language, it's management, senior management, right, in organizations. So you've got... at levels of leadership, you have people who are highly capable individuals, and they can be experts. They can be the top level experts in their field. But just because you're an expert doesn't mean to say you know how to run a team, which is next level up. So many times the people who are actually the very best at something are then asked to handle a team. And then you discover, well, they're really smart, but they're a lousy team leader. Right? Anybody ever experienced a lousy team leader? Probably at some stage. Now, they may have been, you know, the teacher's pet in school, who knows? Or they may have been somebody who really was exceptional at that skill, but they're just not a good manager of other people. But so then you have team leaders. And then you have the next level, which is where they are actually competent at what they do. And they can not only handle a team, but then they can also work effectively with other teams and peers. And so in that way, they're a competent manager. Now, some of those folk then become many times the CEOs of large corporations, for example. And those large corporations could even be nonprofits, they could be for-profits, they could be any kind of structure or organization whatsoever. But what happens, but this kind of effective leader here is often, is understood to be more like what I had said, the command and control type of one, where at the top, they're used to kind of running the show. And they don't necessarily know how to lead well in terms of collaborative efforts. So they lead by, you know, command and control, rather than by collaborative decision-making or legislative type of decision-making. Legislative decision type of making, or level five leadership, which is where nonprofits or at least social enterprises tend to be, are here because beyond the having the CEO position, beyond being the top dog in the organization, even, or let's put it this way, even the top dog here in this organization, excuse me, say top dogs, but it's just language, they see that beyond their position, beyond their role, they are answerable to the mission of the organization. Now, sometimes in some organizations, people say they have a mission, but in fact, they want to be the command and control leader of these organizations. When push comes to shove, they actually do not serve the mission, they serve themselves. That's one of the challenges that can happen, especially in social enterprises. Because many times, even when people don't intend to become, for their ego to get wrapped up in everything, and they say they are there for the mission, life happens. Human beings are human beings, and it can mean that okay, I'm sorry, but I'm first, and the organization is in service to me. So a true level five leader really does lead for the purpose of the mission. They collaborate with other people. They learn how, they're more of a legislative leader, just like you've got, you know, supposedly you've got your, you know, your senators and your congressmen or whatever. They are there in theory not for their own longevity and their own purpose. They're there to represent the people for the sake of the nation. And so they work together, they figure out ways to work together, even though the interests are different and it's a complex environment. But still they persist, and they work for the betterment of the country. Ideally. But anyway, therein lies, you know, the concept of the difference between a level five executive and a level four effective leader, where many of the big corporations are owned or virtually owned by the CEOs, and or, you know, the dollar is, the CEO is so wound up in the dollar value of the company that it's the same as them, but they're not really working toward a bigger mission than themselves. And so that's this simple concept of level five leadership, and differentiating that from the more traditional corporate world.
Got it. Yeah.
Other questions? Comments, thoughts? I've got a quick question for Fernanda. What's your thesis on?
It's about entrepreneurship, and it's specifically about acceleration programs or accelerators for entrepreneurs. So I'm concentrated on Mexico, and what I'm working on is to try to define if the accelerators take into account several characteristics from the founders when they decide which startup will be accelerated or not. So,
so in that situation, you're looking at the, you're looking more at the, like the angel investors and things and how they decide. Is that what you're?
Yes. Well, right now there's like a new type of investors. Mm-hmm. And they are called, like, as a incubators, they are called accelerators. Right. And one of the main purpose of the thesis is to explain which are the difference between an incubator and an accelerator.
Yeah.
And then to investigate, like, how are they working in Mexico? Because they are they have been growing from the last years, like in the US and the UK.
Right.
But in Mexico, they have been growing lately in the last 4 years. So we are trying to explain, like, why entrepreneurs decide to enter or to apply to these programs, and how the accelerators decide which startups will be selected for the programs.
And because absolutely what works in the Bay Area in America is not going to be exactly the same for the situation down in Mexico, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Exciting. Yeah. So, gosh, I might be giving you more of your day at this rate. Does anybody want to, reflect on or ask any questions about the, I will give you, let me drop that. For those of you who don't have it, the document, my computer, if I can find it, I might have to do it later. But you guys can, if you've got any questions, but the stakeholder driver document, I'll drop that in the, if I can find it. If I can spell it right. Okay. So that's just in the, that's in the chat box for you if you want to download that one. I don't know whether I've edited it since I gave it to you guys, but you can use that as a tool. It's one of those tools, one of those useful tools. Well, okay, so since I've got a lot of discussion and I left you guys time to give feedback or to ask questions, but do we have a group we've got a group of very quiet people.
Hey.
Yes.
So I would like to reflect on the last thing you were talking about, like of human resources, like the importance of human resources against financials and maybe numbers that sometimes some NGOs may go more through that way, or counting just numbers and financials and looking for those milestones instead of working on people. And I think I've got the opportunity to work on an NGO, and it has been pretty difficult for me because I have been working on a project that was really small compared with the other projects that they were working on. And I was really committed to the purpose, and I was really, I felt like identified with the project and with the purpose that we have. I really feel and thought that it was something that was really making an impact, but it has been a really small project, and they have, instead of, I don't know, like 1,000 students that will be working with us, we just had like 100 or 60. And for me, it has been a challenge to try to get to let them know or to explain them that even though we have been working or we haven't had that growth that they expected, and those numbers that maybe other programs were achieving. We really have passionate stakeholders, and I think that's something that was really important for me, because we have companies and people that were really committed with the program, because they really trust and they really engaged with what we were doing. But the thing was that my own organization, the NGO, wasn't feeling that we were fulfilling the milestones or the objectives, the goals that they have, because they just think on the numbers of people that we achieve and the money that we have been raising. So what I get to learn from this experience was that if our team was committed, if our team, our people was able to understand what we were really doing, and that they really think and trust in what we do, we are able to do great things. Even though maybe we are like running against what they really want to do. So, and because of that, and because of the great program and the great, I don't know how to say, like the pillars that we constructed for it in order to present it and to share it with other stakeholders, we get to raise money afterwards. And we get to get people to trust us and to give us some donations that maybe they weren't expected. And that was something that for us, I think it was really grateful. And it makes us realize that if we are really doing what we want, and if we get to show that to other people, they will be trusting. Well, they will trust in you, and they will continue helping you.
Right. So I think what I hear you saying is that your small group was very aligned. The mission, the stakeholders, and the teams that were working on it were very, very connected and aligned to the mission and the purpose, and everything was aligned. And it sounds like that team's alignment and the NGO wasn't quite aligned. And so that's exactly one of the challenges that organizations, NGOs, corporations, whatever, have. And so these other two pieces that we go into in the next couple of days, are address that, so that you can identify ways to, quote unquote, fix that problem. Because when you notice it, it's very natural, in some ways, it's very natural that it happens everywhere. And the effectiveness of a small team, of a really aligned small team, is you've experienced it clearly, is powerful. So then how do you scale that? Mm-hmm. How do you ensure that doesn't just happen here, but everywhere else in the organization? It's good, but it's just not quite doing what it really could be doing or needs to be doing. And so it's exactly that, in a sense, that point that we'll be looking at tomorrow and the next day, the other two pieces of this that will help when they, all of these three come together, then you can create a powerful small team and you can scale it. Or if you've got a disconnected organization that really could be doing more, it really could be doing more. Just by the very nature that you've got people all in an organization, it could be doing more, understanding the potency of the human being. Then what is the way to bring that into alignment so that it can become, again, a very, very powerful entity, and not just, it's good, but, it's really sad that it's not doing what it could do. Because sometimes a lot of the loss and grief that we have in our lives is what could have been, rather than what was built and then was lost. It was what could have been, what should have been, what we would have loved to have seen. And we grieve it, even we grieve the loss, even though there was nothing there to lose. But we see the potential, and then we want to see that grow. We want to see it blossom. And so precisely these three pillars I mean, we could go into management practices. We could go into, you know, how to handle HR and how to become good speakers and how to do, you know, there are so many elements to when you as an entrepreneur, when you're as an advocate, you need to be able to convey your message. You've got to be able to speak. You've got to be able to write. You've got to be able to, you know, balance your books. You've got to be able to submit all of your information to the IRS every year. You've got to sustain your 501c3 status or whatever it is. There are so many elements to running a business, and for profit, not for profit. They're all businesses, you know, functions, organizations, whatever. And you've got taxes and this and that and the other thing. So there are so many pieces that one could go into and look at, you know, teach about or whatever. But because we're talking about social change and about impact in society, improving our society, operating as optimally as we can, even when everything is very confusing, gray territory, you know, difficult and challenging, what are the things that we need to focus on that will help us the most, the quickest, and in order to do the best? Will we be able to solve everything? No. Can we be the saviors of the world? Probably not quite. Would be nice, but that would probably require a magic wand. So given that that's probably not going to happen, then we look at, you know, how can what we do, how can we be assured that what we do really makes the optimal difference? And that's been my focus and my concentration. And that's why these three parts. And I wouldn't have known this. I didn't know this years ago because I didn't know a lot of things. But, you know, to the extent that I can provide these core things from very many, sometimes very expensive, or, you know, and it, not just financially, but other kinds of lessons, then and seeing what works and seeing how things are done well and putting it all together, then this is why these three pillars. So yeah, anyway, exciting to hear that you've had that experience with a very effective team, because you will carry that experience with you into everything, and you will know the potency of a team and what you can get done. And that's a very powerful lesson. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, I think it will be really excited to listen to you next day, the following days, in order to see which other tools you will be showing to us. Because as you were saying, I think it was the biggest challenge was to be able to scale up and to be able to have the impact that we really wanted to have. And sometimes, as you were saying, I studied business administration, and you may be tough to those H&R politics and financials and everything, but when you get to be working with a team, and when you need to have leadership and you need to be working with people and get all of this together, it's sometimes that's not something you will learn in a class. It's something you need to experience, and you need to get to know people, and as you were saying, with the stakeholders, to learn which are their needs and what do they really want, to be able to have that empathy and to be working with them collectively and in a collaborative way.
Yeah. And because the amazing thing is, when you work with your stakeholders that way, it's, and as I said, as I went through even just that question, the template, even at that level, the person that you're interviewing is getting value. So you're not taking in, you're not just asking them for something. Yes, you're gathering information from them, but it's also the way that you can then continue to work with them. And building that kind of engaged relationship into everything that you do, that kind of mindset and heart set and all of that, is just, because many times we think, okay, well, you know, we care about people, but I've got to get back to business. But this is really an issue of business. I've just got to do, as if they're two different things, as if they exist in a different person, in a different structure, but it's not. And so it's so important to, and that was again why I even structurally or visibly put that center, the human element, in the center of those dynamics, because when we keep that there, when we keep that there, and then the rest of it can explode, because it's all, you know, in the end, it's human stuff. And yeah, we can be particular, and we need our financials, and we need our analytics, and we need our data, and we need our AI to help us analyze all of our data, and this will be critical. And then there are ethical questions about AI and all of that. I mean, there's so much in here, in all of this sort of stuff. But so much a part of my own personal agenda is to get the tech and the tech world and tech methodologies and the uses of AI and analytics and big data and whatever else, you know, to become part of the way even the UN operates. And so, yeah, I want to get into the nuts and bolts of data and analytics as well. But you've got to get the order right, and you've got to get the core right. And then all of that stuff wraps around and becomes useful. Okay, any other questions? So then I'm going to let class out early. I'd expect a big hug from Grace on that one. Anyway, I know it's been a fairly long day, shorter than what it could have been. I hope that we'll see you back again tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock my time, whatever time it is your time. Please do come back. I know it's intense, but you know, it's like walking into a little bit of a tunnel. I know so many times conferences, and we can't do that. I mean, if we'd all gone to a different place and all met in person, I always used to think felt like at so many of the conferences I would go to, it was like walking into one end of a tunnel. And then a few days later, you walk out the other end. And it's like, you could have been anywhere in the world, but for those few days, you're just in this little cocoon of a space. You're just in that little world with those people. You create an experience, and then you come out and you go, oh, there's still a world out here. But and it won't be exactly like that, but I still hope that this will tie a lot together for Grace and Ifani, who've been through a lot more with me already, but also that it's good for you, Daniela and Fernanda. Anyway, so I thank you all very much for being here. If there's no other comments or questions before we close out, we'll finish up the day, and then we'll see you at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
I just have one thing.
Oh, yes.
Like a shameless plug. A shameless plug in case anyone's interested. I don't know, maybe Fania, this might be something. But the Working Group on Girls, which is an NGO working group at the United Nations, today is the first day of an 11-day social media campaign for basically raising awareness for the International Day of the Girl. So basically every single day, there's like a different like sub theme going on, and there's going to be conversations over social media on Twitter and everything. And anyway, it just might be a way to get connections and contacts and stuff through the conversations. Just letting you know that that's happening.
Okay. So what's the link for the conversations?
I'll send you, can I just drop the...
Well, absolutely. Because part of this is I want you guys to talk to one another, you know, and network and get to know one another and share info. So this is fantastic, Grace.
Yeah. Here's the actual direct link. So basically every single day on this page that I just sent, there's going to be another little card. So you'll see October 1st, Congregation of Our Lady of Charity of Good Shepherd is the first day. So they are hosting the day. And from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., in standard time every day, there's going to be a Twitter chat based on their theme, like whoever's, yeah. So like Women's Federation is sponsoring day 6, which is on education. So we'll be talking about girls' education. But then there's like, anyway, so in case that's of interest to anyone.
Well, I'm just glad I didn't plan this thing on day six.
I have another person doing that, actually, so I would have been fine. But yeah, just giving people an opportunity.
Fantastic.
Right. Networking.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Okay. So there you go. Fantastic. So we'll see you all tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, at Audio Pro Land. Okay.
Awesome.
All the best, everybody.
Bye. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. See you tomorrow. Bye.
See you.